When You Get the Chance by Emma Lord. Read by Jesse Valinsky. Chapter 1. I get about as far as, "Dear Millie Price, we are delighted to inform you," before I emotionally black out like I've just been whiplashed by a rainbow and drop-kicked into a river of glitter. I slam my phone down on the nearest table, jumping to my feet. "It's happening," I gasp.
"Can it happen somewhere else?"
In my defense, I forgot I was in the library. But also in my defense, Oliver Yang would be annoyed with my existence in any room in this school, and likely every dimension hereafter. Sure enough, he's fixing me with the same patented stage manager scowl I've watched evolve since we first started mutually irritating the hell out of each other freshman year. In the beginning, it was far more pronounced, all furrowed brows and tight lips, aimed with the intent to burn. But after 3 solid years, he's adopted a much more impassive micro-scowl, either because he's too cool for a full one, or because the two of us get on each other's last nerves too often to warrant it. I grab my sheet music off the copy machine and glide over to his table, brimming with the kind of excitement that even he and that irritatingly handsome face can't puncture. "Finals are over," I say, jamming a finger down on his open physics textbook. He pulls it closer to him, out of my reach.
"I'm taking this one late. I had to sit in for all of the auditions."
Ordinarily, he wouldn't spare so many words for me. But there's a slight warning in his voice, a reminder that he'll be helping make the casting decisions, and it would be in my best interest not to pester him any further. But he's spent the last 3 years pestering me, so it only seems fair to get in a few last jabs now that my theatrical fate is safely out of his hands. Some of the casting decisions our theater teacher has made for me over the years likely have less to do with me looking the part of townsperson number 7 and more to do with Oliver holding a Millie-shaped grudge. "Well, I'm done with finals," I tell him cheerfully, sitting on the edge of his table.
"Woo,"
Oliver deadpans without looking back up. "And with this school."
"If only."
I toss my hair back behind my shoulders, fully aware that the swoosh of curls is every bit as much a good comeback as any verbal one. But Oliver isn't looking at me, focused on closing his physics textbook and jamming it into his backpack. I scoot myself off the table as he heads out. "You're not even going to ask why?" Oliver sighs.
"I have a feeling you're going to tell me whether I want you to or not."
I twist my lips shut. The thing is, I really shouldn't waste this kind of news on Oliver, who prides himself on his ability to pretend I don't exist. But I'm in what my Aunt Heather calls one of my Millie moods, when everything is just so much that it feels like it's going to spill out of me if I don't find a place to put it. And unfortunately for Oliver, it's the last day of school, and he's the only person within a reasonable radius. "Fine. I won't tell you then," I decide. Oliver pivots toward the exit of the school.
"Oh no," he says flatly.
I follow him out onto the sidewalk, where he's crossing the street to get to the science wing of the school. To be clear, it's not that I want to continue to have him in my line of sight, but getting on Oliver's nerves is a cherished pastime of mine. And if this really is the last time I'm going to see him, I want to leave an impression. I want him to look up at my face on a Broadway marquee 5 years from now and remember exactly what it was I said to him before my big bouncy curls and Heather's old 90s mom jeans walked into the West Village and out of his life for good. I want him to remember my Millie! Oliver's hand wraps around my elbow and yanks me back just as a taxi whizzes past. Close enough that I let out a yelp at a volume extremely embarrassing for a native New Yorker. Even more embarrassing, though, is the fact that I am now pressed chest to chest against Oliver. Worse still, when I open my eyes, I discover that my face is buried directly into his neck. We both step.